Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
And kind of strange, man. We usually start the show out with, goofiness. But as we're recording on Friday night, news just came down that Black Panther star Chadwick Boseman has passed away from a battle with colon cancer at just 43 years of age. And it's shocking to say the least. You know, we did not expect to come on the air and find that news, and that's just so young, you know, and just speechless is kind of the word I have right now.
Yeah.
Because
our condo,
like,
definitely send our condolences to the family of Chadwick Boseman.
I mean,
you know,
Black Panther was obviously a huge successful film. It did so much for the culture of black superheroes and to show that they have a place amongst the Hollywood elite, as they should. And, man, that's going to be his ultimate legacy, as playing that amazing character that was brought to life. One of my favorite Marvel films, I really liked it a lot. And, he also played, it's funny in a way too, that today Major League Baseball normally celebrates Jackie Robinson Day in April, but because the season started late, they're doing Jackie Robinson Day today in Major League Baseball. And of course, Chadwick Boseman played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42. So just something to think about there. Didn't see this coming at all. I don't think anyone did. Just very sad, man. Such a young age. And just wow. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, kind of just. We're all excited to start the film, and then we saw that, and man, it's just got very sober over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, everyone just got a punch in the gut, I think. For lack of better words, I guess.
Yeah, we all know they were planning a sequel with Ryan Coogler coming back to direct, and for all intents and purposes, we expected Chadwick Boseman to come back and play the Black Panther, and but now his legacy will have to live on as playing T'Challa in the first saga, and of course his parts in Endgame and Infinity War, and his first appearance in with the Winter Soldier, which was a very memorable. Or not, was it Winter Soldier? Civil War. Yeah. So, man, just a shame. Like Long said, our thoughts go out to his family and friends, and prayers for him. So. But on that note, how are you guys? We avoided a hurricane this week.
Yes. Yeah, we did. Unlike our friends and, friends in Louisiana who got it.
Louisiana and Mississippi. And well, it did hit Texas some too. Beaumont's in pretty bad shape, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was last weekend when we recorded. It was a little frightening. We weren't sure what the few days were going to hold ahead. We thought by Monday or Tuesday we were going to be facing a devastating hurricane. And I'm grateful it did not come here. But also, like you said, man, I feel for the people in Louisiana and Mississippi, and hope they're all as okay as they can be. You know, because we went through it in 2017 with Harvey. Harvey almost derailed our podcast at one point. You know, it was hard to get together and record. And so hurricanes are not something to play around with. And, but other than that, I'm just tired. It was a long week mentally and physically, because you do things to prepare for the storm working in the grocery industry. And, it seems like it was all for nothing, but I think it's better to be prepared than not be prepared. So, exactly. And, you didn't do shit. You just barely came back to work this week. Yeah. So
that's
I mean, I didn't even see you. You didn't even make an appearance in my. You didn't even make an appearance in my store this week, so I know you didn't do shit.
Not in your store. I was at a different Kroger. You know.
Sure. It's okay. You didn't do shit this week. It's all right. So, but on that note, let's get into the show then, man. Let's get into download this where we tell people we watch or stream this week, and whoever wants to go first, man, take it.
I'll go first. This week, I didn't get to do much, but I did, however, finish watching the Netflix documentary series called High Score. It's basically a rundown of all the history of video games.
Okay.
And they broke it down by how, you know, the whole, like, how fighting game history came about, or how, you know, how home consoles became resurrected and after the big slump, and well-made, well-produced documentary on Netflix, 6 parts. I think there's going to be another season. And if you have interest in video games and how they came to be, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I put it in my queue. I'm going to watch it eventually.
Yeah, a lot of episodes on there are about 35 to 45 minutes. They're not too long.
Yeah.
Did you ever finish The Last Dance?
No, I've got like 2 left. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Almost
done. And, yeah. And I also spent $100 on a rare Blu-ray set that's hopefully coming next week. It's nothing that's very popular. It's very niche, I guess is the word. But yeah, it's actually a 4 or 5 Blu-ray set of the New York Metropolitan Opera's production of Richard Wagner's The Ring Cycle opera, with 15 hours long, divided in 4 operas that contribute to one story.
Yeah, no offense, yeah. Brother.
I know you're a fan of
that. Sounds boring.
You guys are familiar? Shut up, you Philistine.
You Philistine.
Yeah. No, it's everyone knows the famous Rite of the Valkyrie scene.
Mm-hmm.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, da, 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 da. It came from that opera.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, and it's filmed in HD, and yeah, don't knock it until you try it. But the basic premise of the opera is it's heavily rooted in Norse mythology, and you know, they have Valkyries and gods and the whole power corrupts absolutely type of theme, and all of science fiction and fantasy owes a lot to this opera. This opera is the basis to, you know, a lot of movie storytelling. So, yeah.
But I could see where maybe Darth Vader's theme could have been inspired by that, you know? Yeah.
John Williams is heavily influenced by Wagner, and you could hear it, you know?
Yeah, just by you mentioning that, and then just mentioning that chord, yeah. I was like, man, I was like, that reminds me of a, you know, were you in band long? And
no, I was in choir. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played trumpet. I played trumpet in middle school, high school, and college. And, yeah, that's just having that musical influence. I can kind of think of a few things that might have been influenced by that.
Oh, man. And you could probably appreciate it too, because you know how hard it is to play trumpet.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially in long themes like that. Yeah.
Even though it has 3 keys there, your air control is very important.
Yeah. But can you imagine playing in the brass section of a, like, 2.5-3 hour long opera for 4 nights straight?
Man.
You know? But
The longest I used to play in 1 day is 3 hours, but then I'd usually have a couple days rest. That's just ridiculous. You got to have some strong chops for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm excited about it, and I may have to. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it. It's not coming until next week, the DVD, the Blu-ray set. So, $100.
Let me know how it is.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll link you the trailer, and then you can check it out after we finish recording.
Okay.
So, yeah. But that's my download this. But well, it was part of our little preamble. I took my brother to pick his eye procedure, LASIK procedure this morning, so yeah. I had to take a day off in order to help him. So,
wow.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah.
How about you, Matt? What's your download this?
Quite a few. I guess I can combine some from last week because we watched a few movies. You know, being out in the sun, sometimes you just want to get inside and watch a flick. So we watched both Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, and then we watched The Mask. And I was doing a little research because, you know, just from doing the show, this is just what I do. I kind of just look up stuff, and I didn't realize in 1994, all three, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, and The Mask all came out in the same year. And wow. All three of those films made over $1 million, or over $100 million in the theaters. Yeah. And Jim Carrey signed on to this super cheap contract because those were his first couple films outside of his cameos in the Deadpool. I think he did a cameo in another film, but yeah, so they got him for a steal. That's definitely worth talking about that year in 1994, man. Those some good comedies came out that year, I guess.
So is our assessment still correct that Ace 2 is still better than Ace 1?
I think so. You know, I feel like maybe you're more original. I think maybe the jokes in the first one are more original. You can argue that maybe, but they're still funnier in the second. I think you just have so many situations that are just very funny. The doctor scene where he's like pushes out the baby and he like shoves his hand, and then the cliffhanger spoof at the beginning. Yeah. That's always great. I also watched Cliffhanger because it went on sale on Vudu for $5. So yeah. I went ahead and bought Cliffhanger, watched it. And then I bought Magnum Force, but I haven't gotten to watch that. It was on sale for $5. And then today I watched Enter the Dragon. Because Jackie was like, oh, let's watch a movie real quick. And Enter the Dragon was $5. And I have the DVD somewhere, but I think I left it at my mom's or something. So I was like, why not? I was like, why not have it? And, it's his legacy. And, of course, John Saxon died this year. So I was like, oh, there's John Saxon. Back to the Future. That was the other movie I watched, Back to the Future. You know.
Yeah. That's an evergreen movie there.
Oh,
You'll never get tired of that.
It was Jake's first time watching it, so had to make sure that he at least got that one on his belt.
Cool.
But that's it for me. Mark, what'd you get to this week?
Well, actually, last Saturday, I had just my oldest for the day, so we braved the theaters and we went and saw a screen of Empire Strikes Back. Theater was actually really clean and there's only 200 people in there. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go to like a crowded theater, you know, but for something like that, for a retro screen, and it was pretty cool. I don't think I had seen Empire since the special editions on the big screen, so it was cool to see it on the big screen again. Michael really enjoyed it.
Really, has it been that long since you last seen it?
Well, not the movie, but on the big screen.
Okay. I thought you meant at all.
No, no. Because trust me, it is a different experience seeing those movies on the big screen. And even Michael, I think, appreciated seeing something like Empire Strikes Back on the big screen because he even mentioned how cool it was to see it like that. So, and that's the reason we watch movies, I think, is for spectacle films like that, that are made for that kind of environment. And then but it was neat seeing Empire again. Then I actually today I got home and I watched Bill and Ted Face the Music, which came out today in theaters and on demand. It's not great, but it's definitely, you got to really put yourself into realizing that this movie was simply made for fun. You know, it's a Bill and Ted movie. I mean, you're not going to win Oscars. just go and have some fun. It's really goofy, you know, but I really enjoyed it. It's short. It moves really quick. It's dumb as hell in parts, but it's definitely a nostalgic trip for sure. I'm kind of at first, when I first announced, I was like, do we really need another Bill and Ted? But after watching it, I'm like, it was kind of fun. You know, I'm kind of glad they came back together. But it did feel, it's available on Vudu. You can buy it on Vudu. Yeah. I just bought it. It's silly. It's $20 to rent it or $25 to buy it. And you got a $3 credit. It's like, well, fuck, I might as well spend the $25 and just buy it.
Yeah.
And,
I did see like a free movie set for $34.
Yeah. And if you go to the movies, you're going to spend that money anyway. But it was fun to watch. You know, it did feel a little bit like maybe it was Keanu owed Alex Winter's one. So, hey, let's do a movie, buddy. But I think it came together kind of nicely. There's some really good in jokes in it and some legitimately pretty funny stuff. So I think Bill and Ted Face the Music was a worthy sequel. I think it's better than part two. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I'll give it that because Bogus Journey is kind of like, you know, it's okay, but it's not great. And what's the guy who played Death from Die Hard 2? Fuck, I'm forgetting his name. William Sadler. That's right. He steals the show in this one. He has a pretty good couple of scenes stealing turns as Death. So, my voice. God damn it. Wearing these masks. But yeah, that's really all I really watched this week was that. I was looking forward to Bill and Ted, so I came home and watched it today before we recorded. So, I recommend watch it though. You guys grew up watching those movies; you'll enjoy them. You'll enjoy it. So,
cool. Yeah.
And so I guess that gets us to today's feature film, which is a pick of Long's, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, starring Russell Crowe, directed by Peter Weir. Long, summarize this movie.
Yes, I will summarize this film. Master and Commander is a high seas Napoleonic age naval story starring Captain Jack Aubrey and his pursuit of a French warship, the Acheron. Mm-hmm. And his ship is the HMS Surprise. They're outgunned, out-armored, and slower. And it's a battle of wits between Captain Jack Aubrey and the French captain. And in between all these battles, you'll get to see an immersive experience of what's life like at sea in the 17th century. But yeah, it has all your classic themes: man versus man, man versus nature, and man versus self. And it's definitely one of the best Star Trek like movies.
Yes, very Star Trek.
But based, very Star Trek like. But based on the high seas, because you have Captain Jack Aubrey, who's basically Captain Kirk, and. You have the doctor. I forgot the doctor's name. Played by
Paul Bettany.
Vision from the Avengers.
Yes, played by Vision.
Paul Bettany. And he's basically a mix of Dr. McCoy and Mr. Spock, all rolled up into one character.
For real.
And it's a fantastic movie. And I figured we picked this movie because last year we went with a Last of the Mohicans, which was a historical fiction. It's very historically accurate, but the story backdrop was fiction. And I figured Master and Commander's historical as well, but has a fictional story against a historical backdrop.
Yeah.
You know, both are very accurate to the time period they're in, but they're fake stories, which is kind of funny. Yeah. You know, they're not real story, real actual historical figures, but they're fictionalized. So
it was cool reading about the actual captain this was based on, and he was just awesome. I don't think he would have sailed, you know, the Cape like Aubrey did, but
yeah,
he was a brilliant strategist. Just you know, learning of some of his escapades against the Spanish and other frigates that he would encounter on the seas. But yeah, this, you know, I enjoyed this film a lot more than I thought I would. Mainly because of its history. That's what interests me. You know, yeah, you know, it starts off, you know, as far as action, it starts off really good. You're boom, you're right into cannon fire as soon as you play the movie, and then it's all about gathering themselves and strategy before the next fight.
And the superstition. Yes. And the superstition shared among the sailors.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. And then you're surprised about how even the regular sailors have to follow orders of the young kid officers who are from the rich aristocratic class, you know. Yeah. Even though these boys are like 10 years, like Michael's age, they have to follow his orders because he's an officer.
Yeah. You know? And it's historically accurate. It was amazing to see how historically accurate this film was. I actually watched most of the making of for this film. So I was able to see a lot of like the history buffs that were on set and you know, the training that they had to endure. They did 2 weeks of naval training, just tying knots and learning how to, you know, pull sails and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they really had to learn. It's a shame that this movie came out the same time Pirates of the Caribbean came out. Otherwise, I think this would have been more successful. I mean, the Academy recognized it. The Academy recognized the success of this film.
It made its money back, for sure. It made a little bit of profit back, so I was glad that it did. This is definitely one of my favorite roles that Russell Crowe. This is my favorite Russell Crowe role, more so than Gladiator.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I would say it's probably number two for me, his second.
Yeah, for me, it's a personal bias. I love high seas. Movies.
Yeah, I knew so, you were gonna be more partial to the naval stuff.
but
especially
it's
with
like,
the Spanish lady song. I mean, it's got the Spanish lady song.
Yeah, and then you see the clear line between the officers and the sailors, where that one officer tried to sing along with the sailors, and the sailors like, "What are you doing? You know, you don't sing with us." You know.
I didn't realize why Russell Crowe like stopped and was just like really pissed off. But then after watching the making of, they explain it more and they're like, well, officers weren't supposed to fraternize, you know, with the lower, you know, lower level
regular enlisted.
Yeah.
Regular and, enlisted, yeah.
And they touch on that whenever they meet. Officers could have fun and drink amongst themselves, but not amongst the mates.
Yeah. Yeah, in the flogging scene, just for not saluting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even they highlight how primitive medical practices were back then, too.
Oh, man.
You know, that poor boy who got a big old splinter in his arm. Yeah. Were you shocked by that? You haven't seen this movie before, huh?
No, I hadn't. This is the first time. And I was amazed to be reminded that it wasn't the cannon that did the damage. It was the splintering of the white oak on the on the ships that did all the damage and mutilated people. So that was also interesting. Just getting that history lesson from watching the film. I know Mark, you know weren't as enthralled by the film, but did you find what parts did you find interesting?
I mean, I saw this back when it came out. I don't remember if I saw it in theaters or on video, and but in a minute, where we? But I found it kind of slow and not really interesting enough for me back then. But I was willing to give it a chance to watch it again, you know, because sometimes you see movies a second time, you see them with a different eye, you know. And I don't think this is a bad movie, but for me, I don't find it very interesting.
It's a great movie. Stop right there. It's a great movie. I know.
I don't think it's going to say. It's not a great movie. It's not a great movie. It's boring.
No, you are
a lot of
in
parts.
The minority. I'm sorry if there's no lasers coming out of these people's palms or no lightsabers.
You're patronizing me, and that's not fair because True Romance is a really good action movie, and you don't like it. But this is a boring movie. Nothing happens in this movie for 2 hours, except a lot of talking and some dude kills himself because he got whipped. Well, know your place, motherfucker. You won't get whipped, you know? It's just like, the acting is good. Paul Bettany made me want to slap him. Quit crying about some goddamn bird you want to go find, you know? When there's a sea battle happening, that was cool, but it only happens twice in the whole movie, at the beginning and at the end. Well, a really short one in the middle. But it's just like, the movie, I don't know. I didn't care about any of the characters. I didn't find any of them interesting. That's just my personal thought on it. Do I think it's a well-acted movie and a well-put-together movie? Yeah, I mean, Peter Weir makes good films, so I'm not going to dock him as a director. I just don't find the subject matter really interesting at all in this format. And I don't want to see a bunch of people sit around a ship and talk and complain about how their life sucks being on the ship. And that's kind of just, you know, what I see from it. I think it's kind of a snooze fest of a movie, but I also can appreciate it. And I can see why it got some Oscar nominations. I can see why it was considered a critic. I can see why critics like the film. It's just maybe it's just not my cup of tea kind of thing, you know, but I don't think it's anywhere close to a great film. It sits at like a 7.5 on IMDb. Okay. That's fair enough. You know, it's a solid, you know, I'm not going to rank the film yet, but that's about where, you know, I can see it sitting. But it's one of those movies I feel like I watched it once and that was enough. You know, I don't need to watch it ever again. I know they tried to, they wanted to franchise this, because I get it's a series of books. And this movie takes two of the novels and puts them together into one. And Russell Crowe had initially signed on for a couple of films, but when the movie was not as successful as they wanted it to be, they ended up not making more, even though it did make its money back and it did become profitable at that time. What year was this? 2003? Three or four when this came out. And, you know, back in the mid 2000s, like for a movie to franchise out, this is pre Marvel Cinematic Universe and pre planning ahead type stuff. You had to like really double or triple your money to really get a franchise. You know, it seems like there's more sure things now for franchises. So, unfortunately, long for fans of this movie, y'all never got more because they stopped after the first one, but they had planned for it to be a franchise.
So, yeah, not only the reason was why I like this movie is because it also has a lot of the way they implemented some of the music in this movie, where they implemented some classical music that's right for the period, which I like. That's part of the reason why I like the movie, the way the soundtrack is married with the visuals, and that scene where they're sailing around the Cape Horn, and then they had to sacrifice that one guy who fell overboard.
Oh, because,
yeah. The whole
part was very dramatic. That was very dramatic. I'll give you that. That was a well shot dramatic scene. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, towards the end, where, you know, they had that big old argument about, you know, exploring the island or catching the French ship. It does come into play where Aubrey gets the idea of disguising the ship into a whaling ship, where, you know, it wasn't a complete waste of time, where Aubrey got the idea, hey, wait a minute, this insect is dressed like a stick.
Yeah.
Why don't we dress up our ship like a whaling ship, and then we'll bait that French captain back into attacking us or getting close to us or whatever.
I kind of laughed when I heard the French accent. It made me think of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And he's like, Wheeler, surrender your ship or we will blow your
ass. That's a very bad French accent. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
In the book, they were actually chasing an American ship, not a French ship.
Yeah, I read that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think in the second one, when the second book, I think he chases a French ship, so they kind of combined them, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's to Mark, they may be slow parts and they're just talking. But for me, if it's a slope, if it's a talking part, I look for the conflict between the characters, what they are. Like, if you see a, if you watch a slow movie, it's talking heads and they're just agreeing with each other, that's a boring movie.
Yeah.
But if you're watching a movie that's mostly talking, but they're arguing, you know, about something, then that's more interesting to me.
Like 12 Angry Men. Yeah.
What's the conflict? Yeah, exactly. 12 Angry Men. That's a very good example.
That's what makes it such a great film. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but yeah, I mean, what else is there? I mean, well,
and I do.
It's one of my favorite Russell Crowe movies.
Well, no, and that's cool. I mean, everybody, and Russell Crowe, he is very good in this. There are parts, though, and I don't know if it's Russell Crowe's fault. Maybe I think it's some of it's a sound production, because the film has great sound production with the music and the ocean. But, like, there's parts that I had a hard time hearing parts of this film, too. Like, I had to turn it really hot. I had to turn it up on Hulu. Like, Russell Crowe, there's parts where Russell Crowe sounds like he's mumbling. And I think some of that's just post-production work. Maybe they just didn't, because I didn't finish, you know, they weren't able to correct some of that. But I know, but am I not the only one? There were hard parts to hear in this.
Oh, no, you're not the only one. Sometimes I watch this with subtitles.
Yeah. Well, I had the soundbar on, too, and I still had a hard time hearing parts of it. I think it was just the way it was, the post-production work was done.
Yeah, sometimes I have subtitles on just in case I didn't catch something.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny you brought that up, Mark, because I heard that's the biggest complaint right now for that new movie, Tenet, where they can't, no one understands what the people are talking about, because the music and the sound effects dominate all the talking soundtrack.
Oh, man.
So you don't know what the people are talking about in that new Christopher Nolan movie, Tenet.
I want to see that. I want to see that though.
Yeah. I've read some non-spoiler reviews from audiences and from critics that they both agree that it's hard to understand because they're mumbling their lines, and there's almost indistinguishable from what's being said under all that sound and noise that's going on. But anyways, as far as Master and Commander, yeah, I can see why it's not didn't have its own franchise, which is fine. I'd rather have it be one and done, but have it be special in its own way.
So. Yeah.
Well, no, and I think it's cool that you appreciate the movie, and there's people that enjoy naval history and that part of history. And I'm always up for a history movie. I don't know. This one just didn't do it for me. Like I said, I gave it another chance, and I remember not really liking it the first time I watched it. I tried to watch it again, and I just have a hard time getting into this movie. But that being said, I appreciate the movie for what it is. And I think it, for me, it sits somewhere around, if I'm going to rank it, it sits somewhere around a B for me. Maybe, you know, kind of in the middle on it. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's terrible, obviously. You know, watch it once, and that's enough for me.
You see that? The Jonah. No, I'm joking. That whole Jonah bit. I didn't know that was a thing. That whole superstition about the one person causing all that bad luck, you know, but
But they used to believe, but they would believe that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curses and that somebody brought bad luck, yeah.
No women on board.
Right.
For me, it's, I think it's a B for me too. But the history behind the movie is what I think is very cool. In fact, I think it's a better historical fiction as far as like being historically accurate than Braveheart. I know, you know, Mark may not agree with me there, but I think it's better in that aspect versus Braveheart. I'd rather watch Braveheart than this movie just because of the action in Braveheart. But, you know, this movie, I'd watch it again. It's maybe not something I would buy and own. You know, I rented it. Maybe one day, if it, you know, goes on sale, I may buy it and watch on a whim, because sometimes I just do that. But for me, it's a solid B. I enjoyed the movie and the history behind it. And I think, you know, you should probably, someone listening to this should probably give it a chance and watch it just for its history and how real it is, the real feel of everything. I mean, they brought they brought the miniature makers from Lord of the Rings, and the models were massive. Even though they were miniatures, they were big, and that's how you get kind of that real feel. They use the best in the business, and this film came out really good for what it was.
Yeah. In order to bring this average up to an A, I'm going to give this an S. So I'm going to give this movie an S rank, an S, S rank. Grade.
Like you're S playing plus. Guilty Gear or something.
Yeah. So that brings everyone's averages out to an A. So I appreciate
you're full of you guys. Shit.
There we go.
S. F. No, A plus. For me, it's an A plus. I love this movie. I watch this movie at least once a year, once every other year. And it's one of my favorite historical dramas. And I highly recommend it as well, especially if you're a Russell Crowe fan. And I have nothing else to add. So I guess we'll roll into our top five.
Yeah.
The hot topic of the week, especially from Mark.
Yes.
I just want on the record to know that this horrible idea for a top five was brought to you by the evil Dr. Tran Long. Top yes. five.
And I seconded the motion.
Matt, shut up. Top five movie boats. Really? Really?
Or ships. Or ships.
Yeah.
When I created the weekly top five, you know, I was like, hey, this will be fun. I thought we'd have, you know, some pretty – I never thought we'd be talking about movie boats because, like I said, we were texting each other. Nobody remembers a boat from a fucking movie except for Titanic. So.
About to prove
And I promise
wrong.
You my list won't have any joke entries. So,
I'll start us out long.
Yes, I will. And by the way – I usually tend to do the whole top five thing if I don't hear anything by late Thursday. So, Mark, you got to think of a top five before Thursday evening. Because
we had a busy week, okay? We started football practice. Started football practice this week. My schedule has changed with that. So, had a busy week.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if I don't hear anything by Thursday evening, I'm going to come up with the top five, but it'll still give us some time to think about before.
Anyway, shove your top five up your butt and tell me what you're
doing. This is your idea, mofo.
This was not baby. Not today's. Not today's.
No, I'm talking about this feature in general. All right, my top five. The Black Pearl from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice.
The Fastest Ship in the Sailing Seas. It had a lot of character. Black Sails, and the one MacGuffin that Captain Jack Sparrow was after in the first movie. And have a hell of a run in the next two movies, I think. I never saw the newer ones, though. So, like Stranger Tides and the other pirates. So that's my number five. What about you, Mark?
Good pick.
Why you gotta make me go next?
I'll go next. Mark likes to have the final word, so I'll go next.
Go ahead.
I went with the Inferno from Goonies.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you guys! You know? So why not? Why not the praised treasure ship that the boys stow upon?
I think that's what I look like when I talk to single women.
Oh, man. Long. But yeah, the Inferno. That's what I got.
I know you guys are probably expecting I did a joke list, but I didn't. I actually made a list, and I was going to put Captain Ron's ship on it, but don't worry, I didn't. In the Kurt Russell movie. No, number five, I have the Nautilus from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, nice. I wish I had that on my list.
One of the early sci-fi movies I grew up watching. Well, it's science fiction of a different form, but the whole movie takes place inside that ship pretty much. And, just a great movie.
Great design
Amazing set design. And, I recently, when I first got Disney Plus, I rewatched that movie, and still a good movie. A little slower than I remember when I was a kid. It's a pretty slow movie, but still well done.
All right. My number four is the USS Alabama from Crimson Tide. Nuclear submarine, ballistic missile submarine. A huge backdrop for a big old story of ethics and morality and action. But yeah, that's my pick for number four. USS Alabama from Crimson Tide, starring Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
Nice.
How about you, Matt?
I had your number five. I picked the Black Pearl. I think it's a great movie based off of a ride at Disneyland. It's just awesome how they were able to stretch the source material in that one. Great ship.
My number four is Red October. Red October from The Hunt for the Red October. Yes. So, I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with that solid ship, like in Crimson Tide. It's funny, I kind of picked this because I knew one of you would pick the Crimson Tide ship, but I think they're kind of interchangeable. So I went with Red October, so we could get all those boats in there. So, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Got to cover all the boats and those.
Yeah, boats and those. Yes. My number three is the USS Greyhound from the new Tom Hanks movie, Greyhound.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good destroyer versus submarine movie.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so it doesn't count.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet. It doesn't count. You can do the free trial. You can still see it. But yeah, that's my number three, USS Greyhound. Go ahead, Matt.
For my number three, I picked the Jolly Roger from Hook, Captain Hook's ship. Because, man, it had a jacuzzi, and it had everything in it, too. And who doesn't love Pan?
I don't like that movie.
Robin Williams one?
I don't understand. Like, that movie has a certain love from kids about Matt's age, but, like, it's not a very good movie. But for some reason, like, Matt's age group loves that version of Peter Pan. I don't know what it is. And, like, you can't convince them otherwise.
Yeah. Nope. No. Can't. No, not listening.
But it's a Gilbert movie, is it?
Spielberg producer. He didn't direct it. He didn't direct it. He liked producing.
I hate Peter Pan.
Dustin Hoffman.
My number three is the only spaceship I have on here, and that's because they refer to it as a boat constantly in the series and in the movie, and that is the Serenity from the television show Firefly. And the movie Serenity, which we're doing in September. But they refer to it as a boat. If you've never seen Firefly or Serenity, it's basically a Western in space. So they consider their ship a boat. And so it deserves to be on this list.
Nice. Well, my number two is the Red October from The Hunt for Red October. This is the movie that gave me the navel bug bite that had me become obsessed with warships and naval history. If it weren't for this movie, I wouldn't be would have been a naval history buff. So gotta credit this movie for giving me that, and that's my number two, the Red October. Plus it goes silent. It has stealth mode too. Yeah. Can't forget that.
It's a hell of a good movie. Yeah. Shit. We haven't even done a Jack Ryan movie yet. Eventually we will.
Yeah.
One of these days.
What's your number two, Matt?
For me, number two was the first boat movie I ever saw. I think it definitely was one of my first, but it was the one that stuck with me. And that's the Orca from Jaws.
Oh, I'm going to cheat. And I'm going to say that's my number one boat. To the Orca.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's my number one. Good choice, Matt.
Thank you, sir.
Well, my number two is the cliche pick here, and that's Titanic. I mean, that's the boat anyone remembers from a movie.
Mark, how does that movie end?
Well, the boat sinks, but everybody remembers the boat. So, you know, the boat, the orca sinks too. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
you're right.
It's a wreck. It's a wreckage in number two, too.
Well,
yeah.
I have the orca number one also. So, Matt, what is your number one before we talk about the significance of the orca?
You can't handle my number one, sir. Can't handle it.
What is it?
The Pinta, the Santa Maria. That's right. The Santa Maria. Step Brothers. It's the only
movie
I'll watch other than Jaws multiple times.
I thought you were going to talk about 1492, The Conquest of the New World.
Or no.
That Ridley Scott, Christopher Columbus movie.
So on that note, on that note, let's talk about the orca.
Yeah.
The most iconic boat with the most iconic line of "We need a bigger boat," or "We're going to need a bigger boat," in all of cinema history. The movie that made people afraid to go in the water or afraid to go on boats. There may not be a more iconic film boat other than Titanic and the Orca. You know?
You're going to put that up against Boats and Hoes?
Yes, any day.
Yeah. Rugged boat, too. Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, that boat was heavily modified, so there's no exact copy of it in real life, but I believe that someone's making a replica of life-size replica of that orca.
Yeah, because I think they're supposed to put it in the Smithsonian. Yeah, but but there's no more classic boat in cinema, I think, than the boat from Jaws. And top five boats and ships. I can't believe we did that.
See, it wasn't that bad.
Hey, there you go.
We all came up with an entry.
You know you had fun making this list, Mark.
Yep.
You put Serenity on there. That's how I know you had
fun. Hey, look, the most surprising entry was the Nautilus from the 20,000. I totally forgot about that ship.
Yeah. Too.
Well,
yeah.
Not everybody can be a baller long, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's get into some news.
I didn't cheat by including this week's movie feature boat either, the HMS Surprise or the Acheron. Well,
I thought you would.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but the thing is, though, but the thing is, though, with Master and Commander, though, the boat, it's there, but it's not as it's not as important to the film as it is the story of the men, though. So that makes sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the orca is a very important part of the story. So I guess that makes a little difference. So, but we have a lot of news to talk about because we recorded last Friday and a lot of stuff broke on Saturday at DC Vandome, which we texted about, but we haven't had a chance to talk on the show about. So let's kick that off, man. We got some looks at what DC has coming for us in the next year in film, assuming we can go back to theater safely. We got our first look at the Batman, and much had been said about Robert Pattinson's Batman and what it was going to be like, Paul Dano's Riddler, Matt Reeves' direction, and I think a lot of those fears went out the window when people saw this trailer.
These are apology videos, too.
Yes. Quite. Speaking of Tenet earlier, apparently Pattinson is excellent in Tenet. He's really good in it. But, man, I kind of – I think, Matt, you had texted something like you weren't sure how you're going to feel about another Batman film because we came out of the Dark Knight trilogy, and then we had Affleck, and you get a little bit of Batman burnout. And I'm a huge Batman fan, but I agree with that. You get a little bit of Batman burnout. Yeah. But then when I saw that 2.5-minute trailer, all that burnout went away. I was like, fuck yes, that looks badass. A brutal, dark Batman when he beats the shit out of that thug, and he's like, I'm vengeance. It was like, hell yes, we are on. Let's do this.
I agree. I think making him like a little bit more like the Affleck Batman, kind of like a Punisher type Batman, very brutal, and not your Christian Bale Batman for sure. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the movie now.
I believed in him from the start.
I did too. I never doubted he could be good.
Sorry to interrupt you, Matt. I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
I actually was a little more concerned about Paul Dano as a Riddler because Dano always plays kind of, kind of nerdy-ish, kind of just offbeat characters. And I guess I haven't seen him in enough to know that he can be sinister. But just his voice alone in the trailer, I'm sold. I'm like, okay, he's going to be the Riddler, you know?
Yeah. Well, I never thought of the Riddler as being sinister. I've always thought he was a goofy character in any right. version that he... Like, and I think the animated series, he was kind of goofy, and the comic books, he was kind of goofy. He actually turned into a hero, you know? But yeah.
We got a brief glimpse of Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, and I think she'll do a really good job. I'm excited, man. We got to wait all the way till next October before that comes out, but it was nice to get our first look at it for sure, and but definitely sold on the Batman. And I guess it takes place on Earth 2, and it's a year 2 Batman story. So Batman's been around for a little while when this movie starts. So, and I guess the idea is that he doesn't have a huge rogues gallery yet, but since he's out there fighting crime, you're starting to get the really bad guys are going to come out after him. And so it looks kind of cool. And let's not forget to mention Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon. I thought he automatically right away. I was like, hey, he looks good in the role. So it'll be cool. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
also the Wonder Woman trailer showing off the cheetah for the first time.
Mm-hmm. That was
pretty excited to see that.
Yep. That was next on my list. We got a new trailer for Wonder Woman, which right now is still scheduled for, I believe, November. If it doesn't get pushed back again. And we got our first look at the cheetah. Got to see some more Wonder Woman flying from lightning bolts and skies and stuff like that. And I would have sworn we got a brief shot of the Quinjet in there. Is it just me? Or it looked like she was riding in her jet in the sky. You know?
Yeah, the invisible jet or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the invisible jet. I don't know why I call it the Quinjet. Quinjet's the Avengers. But yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, Patty Jenkins made a really great film with her first film, so I expect this one to be just as good, I think, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. This was my most anticipated movie. Second most anticipated. Right after Kong versus Godzilla. Which I'm disappointed that there's no new trailer for that at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. What did you guys think of the behind the scenes sneak peek on the Suicide Squad by James
Gunn? Can you see my notes long? Because that was next on my list. Yeah, we got
great minds think alike.
A behind the scenes / trailerish look at the Suicide Squad from director James Gunn. Looks like a crazy fucking movie to me, honestly. Like, you know, right?
Yeah. Harley Quinn looks great in her tactical style outfit, too. I think that's the best costume I've seen her.
Yeah, he took that from the Injustice game and comics, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Polka Dot Man, huh? How about that?
I know. Yeah. Some bizarre characters in this he chose. John Cena in there as what's-his-name, Polka Dot Man, King Shark. Yeah, just bizarre characters that Gunn chose for this. I would imagine a lot of them aren't going to make it to the end of the film. But... Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this all comes together. It looks really cool, though.
Supposedly this movie's set in the 70s.
Oh, really? How could that happen, though?
It's its own movie. I mean, it doesn't have any connection to the original, except for Harley Quinn.
And, that's kind of weird.
Captain Boomerang. Yeah, so it's its own continuity, basically, from what I've heard. Mm. I could be wrong, but we'll see when the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Or another trailer.
Right. But it looks like a lot of fun. And then we got a look at the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, which is going to be a 4-hour epic. You can watch it all at once, or they're going to break it up into 4 parts. Snyder's saying most likely spring of 21. There's been some rumors out there that this is going to come out as early as January, like right after Christmas. But Snyder himself kind of said probably the springtime. You know, lots of new footage in that trailer. Stuff that I think the only things that we had seen from that trailer was the brief football scene that was in one of the early Justice League trailers. Everything else was all entirely new footage. I'm really curious to see what happens. I mean, I think everyone got tired of hearing about the Snyder Cut. I know you did. Long yeah. was like, whatever. But I think now that it's reality and it's going to happen, I think we're all excited to see what it's going to be about.
I can appreciate the fans' passion for the Snyder Cut, but it wasn't really my resentment towards the fans. It's really like one dude who keeps retweeting it on my Twitter feed every day, 20 times a day, literally. I keep seeing Snyder Cut this, Snyder Cut that, you know?
And then Matt, I told you to stop that, Matt.
No, yeah, right. But, yeah. But as I said, man, I hope that the fans aren't hyping themselves to the point of disappointment. You know, yeah. Because, you know, Batman vs. Superman was a mess, even with the director's cut. It was better with the director's cut, but it still wasn't as good as it should have been. Right. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the actual Snyder cut turns out.
Yeah. And one thing we know for sure, we're all going to watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
definitely.
And then lastly, we got a couple looks at a couple of games from the DC fandom. The new game from WB Montreal called Gotham Knights, which you get to play as Robin and Batgirl and Nightwing. And there's a fourth character I'm not remembering for some reason.
Red Hood.
Red Hood, that's right. That looks really cool. Like, I really want to play that game quite a bit. I think it looks pretty neat. And it's, I guess they're saying there's rumors that it takes place after Arkham Knight, but I guess the makers of Gotham Knight said, no, this is its own story. So, but it still has that same look as those games. And then the other game we got to look at was, Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League? Is that the name of the game? Yeah. And,
something like that. Yeah.
Or defeats the Justice League. And that looks really cool too. It's a little bit further away. I think it's not coming out till 2022, but can play as Harley Quinn and kill people and fight Superman.
Did so that scene in that trailer when Harley Quinn and King Shark saw Superman appear, and then they see a possessed Superman kill the soldier.
Right.
I've never seen Harley Quinn look so horrified in her life.
Right.
I mean, I've never seen that reaction before. And then King Shark looked like, oh my gosh, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You know, to that poor soldier. But yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen Harley Quinn look like she's looking at the fear of God in her eyes. That reaction was priceless. But yeah.
Yeah. It looked cool though, but so lots of stuff coming out of DC fandom, and I guess there's a part two to DC fandom in a couple of weeks. Don't know what that'll entail. I think it maybe has to do more with some of the DC universe stuff and things like that. But so maybe more news coming out. But it was cool. The biggest surprise to me was because here they've only shot 40% of Batman, and we got that much footage, and that was definitely a nice surprise because I knew we were going to get a look at Suicide Squad and the Snyder Cut, but I really wasn't expecting Batman footage. So. That was nice to get that. I'll take it.
Yeah, that was.
And then on top of that, they announced they normally do it at Comic-Con, but they announced their next DC Universe animated films. And we had already talked about the Batman film that's coming out, but they also announced that they're going to do a Justice Society World War II film and Batman the Long Halloween, which has long been wanted by fans in animated form. And they're going to do it in a two-part film so they can tell the whole story. So definitely cool. And I think Justice Society is really cool too, to do a retro superhero story. So more DC Universe. And they kind of officially confirmed too that Superman Man of Tomorrow, the new one that is already out on Vudu and it comes out physically in a couple weeks, is going to kind of start a new continuity, you know, because they kind of ended the old continuity with Apocalypse War. So they are going to kind of start a new continuity. So the films are kind of tied together. So pretty cool stuff there.
Well, if they do all. Long Halloween, next on my wish list is Kingdom Come.
Yeah, I want to see Kingdom Come adaptation. I want to see Kingdom Come, and I would love to see an adaption of the man who laughs from Batman. I think that'd be a good one too. But yeah, I definitely would like to see Kingdom Come. So that's all the DC news, but there's some other news briefs. They announced this today that Fox is developing an animated comedy based on the X-Files, with Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, behind it. Not sure how it'll work, but sure, yeah. Right? I love the X-Files, but it's one of those series that I feel like it should die, and they keep trying to beat it into the ground. I don't know, an animated comedy, so we'll see. But they have that new Star Trek.
The Lower Decks?
Yeah. So, hey, do something like that. And apparently it's really funny, so.
I saw the first episode on YouTube. I enjoyed it.
Actually. Yeah.
It wasn't as nihilistic as Discovery, but, you know.
Right.
Or Picard. Well, Picard was pretty nihilistic.
Well, Discovery, that's in my news, too. They're going to put Discovery out on this fall. You can watch it on CBS without having to have CBS All Access. Well, just the first season, so everybody can watch it. So, and then this had long been rumored for a while that Netflix was developing a Resident Evil TV series. In fact, there was a movie group as a few days ago, somebody said it was coming, and I mentioned on there, I was like, no, it's only been pitched on Netflix. They never confirmed that they were doing it. Then all of a sudden the news broke that apparently they are doing it. So thanks for making me look like a dumbass, Netflix. And but like any video game series or movie, you got to hold reserves to see how it turns out. I also feel like, I know, Matt, you're a big fan of the games and the remakes of the games do well. But I also feel when it comes to television, I just feel like maybe a little too late with the whole zombie genre. It's starting to kind of fade out, you know? So,
yeah, I wonder how they do this. I think you do have to try and be unique to be successful here because, you know, like you said, we've seen it so many times. So it'll be interesting on how they do this. Hopefully they take the Leon Kennedy approach. But, you know, we'll see what kind of storyline they do. I just hope it's, you know, within the continuity of the video games and they use the source material more generously than the previous films had. So I'm holding out hope. I hope this does well. I want it to.
It's weird. They did one of those series wars where they ordered 8 episodes, but yet they hold the right to not go forth with it if they don't like the pilot. So it's kind of weird how they do that. Okay. So we'll see what happens. And the last bit of news is another Netflix story, Altered Carbon, which is a show that I really enjoyed the first season. I admittedly have had trouble getting into the second season. A lot of people have. It was canceled, which is a shame because the books, there's only 3 books. So it would have only been 3 seasons anyways and tell the story. But we're not going to get any more after season 2. So now I suddenly don't feel obligated to watch the rest of season 2 because I'm not going to get the complete story anyway. And really, though, season 1 kind of tells a complete story. You don't really have to have the rest of it. So, but it's a shame because season 1 was really, really good. But season 2 just didn't catch on with people. And so no more Altered Carbon. So
that's a surprise.
Yeah. But that's it on news, man. That's all I got. It was a lot of news, though. A lot of stuff from the DC fandom. And, of course, the biggest news of all was the news that broke right before we started recording today. You know, of course, the passing away of Chadwick Boseman, played the Black Panther, and Jackie Robinson. Talented young actor at age 43. He will be missed for sure. So, you know, let's not forget that. But before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film. Another pick of Long's, but I know I think I'll like this movie better than the one he picked today. Well, maybe. And that is Dick Tracy.
Out of the headlines, I'm rubbing him out.
Hey, Tracy, watch out!
Leave Dick Tracy to me.
I say we kill Tracy now.
You challenge me, we all go down!
Are you gonna arrest me?
I wanna know who killed Lips Manless.
Not the bad! Not the bad, big boy, not the bad!
I know, and I'm gonna miss you, but all's fair in love and business.
Whose side are you on?
Side I'm always on. Mine.
Territory is my territory now. Everything he owns
positions.
Okay, boys, let's go.
And you, guilty of attempting to bribe an officer of the law.
She does some nifty undercover work.
That Dick Tracy drives you crazy, doesn't he?
All right, that's enough! I want Tracy dead!
Tracy?
Let's go!
Good luck.
You have just said goodbye to Oxygen.
Aren't you gonna frisk me?
Stupid cop!
Tracy?
Warren Beatty is Dick Tracy.
Oh shit! Bong's looking at, really?
Yeah. Bong's like, really?
I don't remember. It's like,
yeah.
Like, okay, that was a joke. And, that was a joke suggestion.
Because it is on cool. HBO Max right now, so you can watch it. Yeah, next week is Dick Tracy. The week after that is Matt's birthday pick. So, which might be hard to watch. But yeah, no, it's been a long time since I've seen Dick Tracy. I know I saw it when it came out. I don't know how I feel about it because I honestly don't remember it. It's an interesting movie because, like, it was made at a high budget, had Warren Beatty. It was a really big deal, but, like, this feels like one of those movies that hasn't been played on TV a lot over the years. Like, it kind of came and went, and nobody really, you don't catch it on TNT or cable channels very much. So it feels like it kind of got lost a little bit. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, you know, and I remember when I first saw it, kind of liking it. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching it again and checking out Dick Tracy. And it gives us a reason to say Dick a lot of the show next week. but it is based on the old comic strips and things like that. I remember it just being crazy characters, and like you said, Madonna. After 200 something episodes, Madonna will finally appear on the Rebel Radio podcast. So,
oh, wow.
So that's for next week's show.
Body of evidence to. No.
But, so watch along with us if you want. Like I said, Dick Tracy is playing on HBO Max. The movie we did today, Master and Commander, if you have Hulu, it's available to watch on Hulu. And, again, go to therebelradiopodcast.com for everything. Our August Patreon will be out probably this weekend. Me and Matt already recorded it. We did Double Dragon, so it'll be out as soon as I get it uploaded. It'll be there for Patreons. If you want to join our Patreon, click the Patreon button on our website. Just $2 a month, you can listen to exclusive episodes like Double Dragon. And it's actually a pretty funny Patreon. I think we did good on this one. I'm kind of excited to see what people think about it. And but until next time, again, prayers out to Chadwick Boseman's family. And until we see you guys next week, be safe out there. Have a good week. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the master air commander of the high seas.
Master Bader. Just remember, as always, just go there and do it.
And do it.
And do it.